Thank you, Alvin, for giving us that reading from the scripture there from Psalm 19. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep your Bibles open there to Psalm 19, because that's where we're going to spend our time this evening, engaged in our study there about Psalm 19. I appreciate that good prayer Bill led us in a few moments ago, and appreciate that great job that David did in leading us in that hymn titled Psalm 19. And that hymn titled Psalm 19, it's a beautiful hymn, isn't it? It's a beautiful hymn, and it reminds us of the glorious character of God's Word, which is described in seven ways. And that's what we're going to take some time to talk about tonight. We're going to take some time to talk about how David described the glorious character of God's Word in seven ways there in verses 7 through 11. And we're going to begin by suggesting that this hymn reminds us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's important to note that the word law is used here as a general reference to the rule of God for the conduct of man. And notice what David said about the law of God. He said it is perfect, which means it is true, and it can never be wrong. It means it is complete. Therefore, it needs nothing added to it. And notice what part of the perfectness of God's Word is. David said, it's perfect, converting the soul. Some translations may read, reviving the soul. To be simply put, it is effective in changing one's life for the better. So when you think about the law of the Lord, the rule of God for the conduct of man, it is perfect, converting the soul. It's effective in changing one's life for the better. But we also see there in verse 7 of Psalm 19 that the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word testimony here has reference to the words of the Lord that have been tested and proved to be true. When you think about something that is sure is something that is firm, something that is confirmed, something that is verified. Therefore, the testimony of the Lord, it is sure, making wise the simple. You see, it is so sure and certain, making wise the simple, because it will add wisdom to those who are uninstructed or uneducated. And did you know that there are many people of simple education or of a simple upbringing who have a tremendous wisdom concerning life and godliness because they study and trust the sure Word of God? Again, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. But we go on to see there in verse 8 of Psalm 19 that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Did you know that statutes refer to a set ordinance? And here the word statutes are referring to the set ordinances of God. And notice what David said about the set ordinances of God. He said they are right, rejoicing the heart. You see, they are right, meaning they are justified and true. And it is because that the ordinances of God are justified and true that the one who knows the Word of God and the one who knows the one true living God finds joy in the truth of God's Word. But we go on to see in verse 8 that the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Did you know that a command, it is an authoritative order? And when David speaks of the commandment of the Lord here, he is speaking of a divine rule. And notice what he said about the divine rule of God. Notice what he said about the authoritative order of the Lord. He said it is pure, enlightening the eyes. You see, we all recognize that the word pure simply means something that is not mixed, something that is not mixed or adulterated with any other type of substance. And God's word, it is pure because it comes from God himself, who is pure. And a pure God cannot communicate in any other way. You see, it is because of that his word is able to enlighten one's eyes. Because it enlightens one in regard to the way in which they should go. And a way in which they should live their life. And in a way in which they should avoid sin and impurity. Therefore, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Fast forwarding there to verse 9, we see that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The word fear here is in reference to having a deep respect for. And the fear of the Lord is deeply connected to the awe and the majesty of the Lord himself. And did you know when one has a deep respect for the Lord, when one has a sincere reverence for the Lord, and they regularly digest upon the Word of God, they're going to have a great appreciation for the awe and majesty of God. Did you know that? You see, David, he begins Psalm 19 with the awe and the majesty of God, talking about how the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And after he talks about that in those first six verses, he moves on to talk about God's word and about how God's word and his in the majesty that is within it in the fear of the Lord is clean. You know what that means? You know what that means? It is clean in the sense that it in the sense of it being free from any decay. It's free from the elements of decay. And it's because of that God's word endures forever. You see, the fear of the Lord, it is clean, meaning it will never fade away. It'll never corrode. It will never diminish because of impurity. And it is because of that the Word of God endures forever. But we go on to see in verse 9 that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The word judgments here refer to the verdicts or the decisions of the Lord. And notice what David said about the judgments of the Lord. He said they are true and righteous altogether. That simply means they are always according to the truth. And they are therefore altogether righteousness. You see, there is nothing false or unrighteous in God's word. Therefore, it would be wise for each and every one of us to recognize that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether by studying it, by loving it, by meditating upon it, and by living it. You see, David begins to sum up the glorious character of God's word there in verse 10 when he says, after giving these different ways in which God's word is described, he says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Simply put, David is telling us that these things that we just discussed are to be desired more than gold. More than much fine gold. And he did that in his description of the value of God's word. And I want you to notice something. I want you to notice there in verse 10 how David is describing the value of God's word being of much more valuable than gold, being something that is to be more desired than gold. But he didn't just say gold, did he? You see, did you notice that? You see, it wasn't enough for him to say that God's word should be more desirable than gold, but rather he amplified it by saying, yeah, than much fine gold. He said it's more desirable than much fine gold. Think about that. You see, gold is something that is desired by many men. Men desire gold. But David said, God's word is to be more than desired, is to be desired more than gold. But he also, in describing the value of God's word and describing how it should be desired more than anything else, he also emphasizes the fact that it is sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You see, we all recognize that honey, it's sweet and it's pleasant to eat, isn't it? But did you notice what David said was sweeter than that? God's word. God's word. And you want to know something? He goes on there in verse 11 to give us the two reasons for why God's word is to be desired more than gold and why it is sweeter than honey. When he tells us that in verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward. Did you catch the two reasons he gave there in verse 11 for why God's word is to be desired more than gold, more than much fine gold, and why it's sweeter than honey? You see, it is simply because it gives instruction. It gives warning. God's word warns us concerning the dangers of losing our soul. But on the flip side of that coin, he also tells us that in keeping God's word, there is great reward. Therefore, there is benefit in keeping God's word. And that's why God's word is to be desired more than gold. That's why God's word is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Simply because it is of much profit to us. It warns us. And when we know it and we keep it, we will receive a great reward. Therefore, may we all be one who ever desires to seek and keep the law, testimony, statutes, commandment, fear, and judgments of the Lord, knowing that they are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, and never forgetting that by them we have been warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Maybe there's one here this evening who someday too wants to obtain that great reward. But you haven't yet submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For you have heard the word of God. And we learned there in Romans chapter 10 verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will. But maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this afternoon who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song David selected.